Well, good morning. Everybody doing good this morning? You blessed? It's a blessing to be here with you. Got a few things that I want to kind of talk about, but first I want to welcome our guests. If you are visiting with us this morning, I met a few of you this morning. If you are visiting with us, we are glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, the love of His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe on it that says guests. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here and who you are. And at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. You can bring that card with you, or you can just leave it there in the seat. I also have a free gift for our guests. Now, also, we're having a meal today. Everybody say, woo-hoo! All right. Yeah, we're gonna eat after the meal. And I'm sorry, after the service, we will have a meal. And if you are our guest this morning, please stay. We would love to get to know you. We'd love to share some food with you. If you're part of our church and did not bring food this morning, Billy will eat less on your behalf this morning. So please stay. Don't feel like you can't stay if you didn't bring something. There should be plenty of food. A few other things I wanted to mention. On October the 29th, our church, this is not our church's event, but we are hosting a shooter safety training, like what to do if you, not just here, but anywhere. If you are somewhere and a shooting takes place, unfortunately, that's the world we live in, folks. There will be training for that offered by a company called Texas Law Shield, and they will be here. We will host that training for them on October the 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. That's a Tuesday night. There's on the welcome desk out there. You can sign up for that. So hope you feel welcome to come to that. Now, 70 years ago on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, I don't know how that this happened. I'm not Pete. Were you just young? And 70 years ago, Tuesday, Pete and Betty Martin got married. Now, they went on their honeymoon to the Texas State Fair in Dallas. Now, was this from the honeymoon, or is this? Y'all haven't aged a bit. It's amazing. They went back last weekend, I think. They went back and with their family, took their family, and got on. That's probably the same bumper car y'all used 70 years ago. We are. That is something that we should celebrate, church. 70 years ago, and Pete, God bless you, man. Y'all. If y'all knew how I teased Betty, you would have got the joke, but you don't get it. God bless both of y'all. Y'all are awesome people, and we love you. If you will turn with me to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and as you're turning there, let me also, if you haven't got your picture made, man, we will, after church, down here at this end of the foyer, please get your picture made. We're getting close to cutting that off. And what we have is what we have for our directory. We would love to have everyone pictured in our directory. You do not have to be an official member of the church. If you consider Wiley Methodist Church your church home, please go and have your picture made. Acts chapter 2. Now, this is, we're going to start in verse 41. This is, Pentecost has just happened, Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came. And the church was really launched. Our church today, it was really launched this day. The Holy Spirit came and the disciples began to speak in the native languages of the people who were in the city. And they began to share the gospel. And we'll pick it up in verse 41. Peter shares the first sermon. I'm pretty sure it was under 20 minutes, so it's okay. Verse 41, those who accepted his message, Peter's message, were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now we're going to flip over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his stuff, that's my translation, possessions, was his own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. I know that you are here with us. We ask now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us through power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm beginning a two-week series today called First Fruits. First Fruits. And today's message is Without You. Without You. I read this story. There was a lady kind of a middle-aged lady, and she happened to be a CHL holder, you know, concealed handgun license holder. She had a handgun in her purse, and she came out to her car, and she had been grocery shopping. She came out to her car, and she begins to get into her car, and she sees four young men in her car, and she quickly reaches into her purse, and she pulls her gun, and she shouts at these men. She says, "This is a handgun. I know how to use it. Get out of my car right now." The men were blown away. I mean, scared to death. They immediately jumped out of the car and ran away. The lady gets in. She's kind of rattled. She gets in. She goes to put her keys in the car, and she realizes it's not her car. A little bit later, once she calmed down a little bit, she thought, "I probably should report this incident to the police. It was a total mistake." So she goes to the police department. She goes up to the counter. She tells the officer the story, and he begins to laugh. "What's so funny?" he said, and he points over to the corner. And these four men were scared to death sitting in the corner telling him about this crazy woman that threatened to kill him. It's not her car. I'm going to jump right into our message today. We're going to unpack these passages that we read today. And first is, when we give, let me back up a second. Let me tell you, this is my disclaimer. Y'all know I don't like to preach on money. You know I don't. And I just, real briefly, the reason I don't is because, man, I don't care about your money. I really don't. You're going to understand more about what that's all about. But I don't care. If you are the richest person in this church or you're the person with the least amount of means, I love you just the same. God loves you just the same. No special treatment here for people of means. I had someone tell me, a pastor told me one time that they were making some changes in his church, and one of the richer people that kind of used money as a weapon came to him and said, if you don't straighten up, if this doesn't change, I'm taking my givings and I'm gone. And I looked at him and I said, I know this sounds kind of harsh, but I would say, see ya. It's not a weapon. It's not a weapon. Our givings is not a weapon. And it won't be as long as I'm around. But there's something, do you know what his number one topic he talked about? It wasn't heaven. It wasn't love. It wasn't sin. It was money. Why did he do that? Do you think Jesus needed people's money? No, because he knows that money gets a hold of us. Our stuff gets a hold of us. And he was preaching that message. So now I'll jump in. I don't apologize for preaching about this. I really don't. I just want you to know it's hard. It is hard for me because I don't want people to think that. There, here we go again. Here's another preacher who wants our money. First thing, when we give with a cheerful heart, we realize it's not our stuff. You know, it's just not. Just like the lady who got in the car, it's like she thought she was defending her car. It wasn't even her car. It's not our stuff. Do you know that God can humble us anytime he wants to, just like that? With our health, with finances, with people's approval, job status, social status, popularity. He can humble us anytime he wants to. It can all be taken away from us. It's not our stuff. Listen to these passages that we just read. In chapter 2, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and good they gave to anyone as he had need. Man, that's radical stuff. But this is how the church was launched. The Holy Spirit came and moved on these people, and people began, 3,000, in fact, the very first day, they began to give their lives to Christ. And suddenly it's like, this isn't my stuff anymore. This isn't my stuff anymore. Now, if truth be known, even the most faithful among us still likes to hang on to a little of this, don't we? We still feel like, you know, I've got to pay the bills and I've got to do this. But so God is not asking us to just sign over everything that he might ask some of us that. But he's not, I don't believe, asking us to just sign over everything we've got. He's wanting to say, who's in control? Who's in control here of your life, of your finances? Who's in control? Who's in control of your relationships? Who's in control of your career? Who's in control of the decisions you make? And in chapter 4, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed, listen to this, I don't make this stuff up. It's in the Bible. No one claimed that any of his stuff, possessions, was his own, but they shared everything they had. If we're going to be faithful in that area of our lives, church, we have to begin by knowing it's not our stuff. That's where it starts. God has blessed us and God can humble us. I've told this story before, but quickly, when Cheryl and I were making the transition from my computer career into ministry, man, that first couple of years was hard. I mean, I thought I had it all mapped out. Anybody ever have mapped out and God goes, does something different? You all have seen this old junker of a pickup. For a time when we were making that transition, I was interim. I was helping a pastor friend of mine in Sweetwater, and I was driving this old clunker pickup to Sweetwater about two or three times a week to work with the youth over there. And I mean, 75 or whatever it is on I-20, and this pickup, the top end with pedal to the metal was about 59 miles an hour. And these trucks would get right up on my bumper, and I could tell in the back, they're like, hey, step on it, man, we got places. And I'm like, I'm giving her all she's got. It was a junker, man. We downgraded our vehicles. We had to put our house on the market. We were getting lean and mean. The house didn't sell for a long time, and it was a mess. God is faithful. God is faithful. But he can humble us in a New York minute. Secondly, when we give with a cheerful heart, the Word tells us people are blessed, and that includes the giver. It's not just the people. I have people a lot of times that are used to being the giver, especially not even just financially, but even with people coming over and maybe they've had some health problems or whatever, and people come over and help them at their home or something. And man, this is hard for me to let people do this. And I say, there's a season where we may be the giver, and there's a season where we may be the receiver. I've been in both of those seasons. People are blessed, including the giver. Listen to the word. The believers were enjoying the favor of all the people. Why do you think that they were enjoying the favor of the people? Because they shared the gospel, and the gospel opened up this whole new world. It's like people suddenly like, hey, those people need help. We got the means to help them. I think I'm going to sell this little tract of land over here that I'm not using. I'm going to sell that. I'm going to help these people. And favor comes from that. Blessing comes from that. They were enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to tell you, one of the reasons I believe God has blessed us is because this church has a giving heart. I believe it with all my heart. I've seen it from day one as I became your pastor. We're going to get into that more in a second. Chapter 4 of Acts, there were no needy persons among them. They're not some. There were no needy persons among them from the time... From time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them, brought the money to the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, one of the things that jumps out to me there is your apostles, your pastors, people in leadership have to be trustworthy. And I want you to know, we'll talk more about that in a second, but we try to be so trustworthy and such good stewards with what's given at this church. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. And then the third point I want to make here is about these scriptures, is when we give with a cheerful heart, God receives praise and glory. God's glorified through it. All the believers were praising God in chapter 2, verse 47. They were praising God because, man, suddenly people were coming to Christ. They were of one accord, one mind, and they were seeing after one another. They were blessing and loving one another. And they were praising God because of it. They shared, chapter 4, they shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. One of the ways we testify, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is he really alive? One of the ways we do that is that we bless people with our blessings. That's a testimony that God is real. Now, next week will be maybe a little more challenging. This week, I want to affirm you as a church. I want you to hear what we've done, and this is not a bragging session. Please don't take it that way. I want you to hear that when that plate is passed around, when money comes into this church, good things happen. Good things happen. People are blessed. So let me start out by saying that last year I asked Naomi to run these numbers. Last year we, out of our offering that was taken in the plates and online giving, you can do online giving if you set that up, 11.3% of our givings went directly to need outside of our church, need. Blessing people, I'm going to get into a list here in a minute. But 11.3% went. Now, that's not even, there's more than that's been done, but that's hard, you know, trackable finances. I think on the back of your bulletin, or maybe inside your bulletin, there's a list of our fixed monthly outgoes. It happens no matter what. Now, of course, if everybody stopped giving, those would change, but we've been doing this for several years, fixed monthly blessings that go out from this church, and this isn't all, but this are the things that we write a check to, no matter, it's our tithe to our community. St. John's Baptist Church, I love that. A quick story about St. John's Baptist Church. They're, you know, our city, we kind of get into this whole north side, south side thing, so that's north side, south side, predominantly a black neighborhood, very poor neighborhood. The only church in that neighborhood is St. John's Baptist Church, so they're not even our denomination, but you folks don't care. I don't know, 12 or so years ago, I went over there and I saw the need, and I came back to our finance committee and I said, man, this church, I don't know how they even keep the doors open. They're trying to minister to that neighborhood. And the day I went over there and preached what it was, and Cheryl always takes care of our givings, and I don't ever worry about it. The plate came by, and I thought, oh, man, I better, you know. So I grabbed a 20 out of my wallet, and I put it in the plate, and it passed. And at that church, they count it, and they announce it. And if it's not enough, they'll pass it again. I think we'll just do it. No, I'm just kidding. But they counted it, and they got up and he said, praise the Lord, we raised $41.25 this morning. And I'm really slow, but I was doing the math in my head, and I'm thinking, 20 of that's mine. What? And so after church, I asked their pastor, what, man, how do you guys pay the bills? How do you get any salary to support you and your family? How does anything? He goes, oh, well, we usually get enough to pay our electric bill, and I don't get any salary, and my heart just was convicted, and I came back to our committee, and I said, here's the deal. Here's what's going on. This church needs us. We have something we can provide. And from that was roughly 12 years ago. It may have been a little longer than that. We've been giving $650 a month to St. John's Baptist Church for 12-plus years. And I'll tell you, they love us. And it's not just because of the money. It's because they know we love them. Houses for Healing. We have $400 a month that goes to Houses for Healing, but so much more. When we decided to do the Houses for Healing a couple of years ago, I think it was Billy, when we built that house, we announced, Billy shared the vision, what we're going to do and everything, and said it was going to, what was the final number? It was going to cost X, what, 20-something? $25,000. And don't feel like if you can't do this, that you're not participating. But we had someone come that Sunday and said, I'll write a $20,000 check for that house. Just because the Lord prompted their heart. The Lord already had a hold of their heart. And we've built that house. If it wasn't for the gifts from this congregation and us building that house, Carol Williams, our second resident, I think second resident in that house, third resident in that house, would not have accepted Christ 2 weeks before her death and been baptized. We didn't build the houses to lead people to Christ. She just saw the love of Jesus, and she's with Jesus now because you guys gave and continue to give, not just financially, but many of you go and pick people up and take them to the doctor and clean the house and food and so forth. Bethel United, now Marcy Garza and her husband Larry and their son is here this morning. I didn't plant you, did I? No, I didn't plant you this morning. She texted me yesterday and said they're in town, would love to come worship with us. Marcy was the pastor at Bethel United Methodist Church a year and a half ago. When the Lord laid it on my heart, I'm still asking him about that, but Lord laid it on my heart to tell y'all one Sunday, we want to bless Bethel United Methodist Church. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider not coming to church here and going to church over there and just bless them. And by the way, while you're there, tithe with them that Sunday. And that's when I went, Lord, is that you, Lord? Is that? No. Was that a blessing for your church? They averaged about $100 a week in giving. That week they raised over $9,600 in their plate. And guess what? We exceeded our givings, our average givings, at Wiley that Sunday. Imagine that. We serve a good God. $520 a month goes to missionaries and missions. Many of you may or may not know some of this. We are part of several churches who are paying for a chaplain for our Abilene Police Department. When one of them sees some of the stuff they see and maybe even has to do some of the stuff that they have to do, they need somebody to pray with them. They had a part-time chaplain was not in the budget, and so several churches said, we'll contribute to that, and we were one of them. And we've been doing that for a couple of years. $250 a month goes to the chaplain. Love and Care Ministry, $250 a month. Methodist Food Pantry, $500 a month. Salvation Army, Crime Victims, Crisis Center, Pregnancy Resources, all those things, I think it's listed in your bulletin, those things go out every month, come rain or shine. Without you, church, these things don't happen. God will find a way. But these specific things, he had set aside these specific ways for us to be a blessing. And I tell you, I don't know what everybody says about our church in town, but I have several pastor friends that when I talk to them and say, man, your church has a reputation for being a giving church to our community, for loving on our community. And I think that's generally what they see, what they hear about. Without you, this has been early in my ministry here. Granny's house, many of you know about Granny's house, but Granny was 91 years old and she needed a house. And same deal, several of us went over and we looked at Granny's house and thought, man, I think we can do this. I think we can build her a house. So we bought this $100 lot from the appraisal district. And at that time, we had about 100 people in our church. And as I recall, we built her a house, and I think it was around $12,500 to get her in that house. And we built her a house, and Granny came out, and Granny was about, I don't know, she looked like she's about 2 foot tall, but she was probably about 3.5 feet tall. And she had a big hole in her neck from a trach that had done, and she's 91, and she came out here. I told Mark Hewitt with Love and Care, who set us up with her, I said, we want to bless her. We want to pray for her. We want to go out and have a ribbon, let her cut a ribbon and go into her house. And I remember I've got pictures. She came and she had this ball cap on. And she was very, very introverted lady. And do y'all remember this? When I called her forward and I began to tell the story, she'd pull that ball cap down. Like, I don't want nobody will see me if I have my ball cap pulled down. And we blessed her. And we prayed for her, and we built her a house. In the last 3 years of her life, she was able to communicate that the biggest thing was she was warm in the winter. This house she had was awful. Lake Stanford, a house flooded there, and water got up to the top to the ceiling. And this person and the man they were an older couple, and the man had just gotten out of cancer surgery. We went and gutted this house and remodeled it. And this was back in the days when there was, again, about 100 people at our house. We've contributed $112,000 since 2010 to the Methodist Food Pantry. We sent a team down to Houston Hurricane Harvey in 2016 and did a lot of remodeling there. I've already told you about our tiny house. Love and Care Ministries, we've contributed over $37,000 in the last 9 years. We've bought 3 vehicles for families that needed them to get to work, take their kids to school. We did a new air conditioner system for a senior adult that couldn't afford it in these hot summers. St. John's Baptist wouldn't have a new air conditioner in their church. They wouldn't have a new roof on their church. They wouldn't have their baptistry. When they would fill up their baptistry and this is a pretty significant thing in a Baptist church to have a baptistry. I don't know if anybody noticed that. They'd fill it up and they had to do it quick because it leaked. I mean, their pastor said, yeah, we got to fill that thing and get in right now. And we repaired their baptistry. We put new air conditioners in the church. We rebuilt 3 houses that are being used in ministry over there in that neighborhood. We passed out over 1,500 turkeys to the Carver neighborhood in the past 10 years. About 150 a year, and that's a blessing. We bless, even here locally, we have roughly 250 kids that come through VBS, and that takes money. Russell, I don't know if anybody remember, I'm kind of ashamed of this, but I used to call him Van Man. Y'all remember Russell that lived in his van? Used to be D1, it was Circuit City before that, over there by the mall, and a couple of our ladies saw this man sitting in his van 24/7. I mean, he was there all the time in his van. And they ended up making a relationship with him, and then I ended up going and making a relationship with him. And he lived in his van. We got him a house. And he lived in it about, he had diabetes real bad. He lived in it about a year before he passed away. Granbury had a tornado, an F4 tornado, In 2013, we rebuilt a home there. Bethel United Methodist wouldn't have a van. Right. We donated a van to Bethel. We donated a van to Eulah United Methodist, and we donated a van to Elmwood West United Methodist. When we get new vans, our vans still had lots of life left in them, we would just give them to another church that needed that. I don't say this, and God is my witness, He knows, I don't say this to pat ourselves on the back and to brag, look at us. I want you to hear that you are making a difference. Your faithfulness financially is making a difference in the kingdom, in our city. You have that, I've seen it from day one. You guys have that kind of heart. Our purpose statement, anybody, come on, somebody shout it out, please. I think I heard it from several of you. Love people, love God, love people, and offer Christ. One of the ways we're able to do that is through our financial faithfulness. Because I got to tell you, I'm not preaching this so that we can pay our bills. Because we're doing okay. Amanda mentioned it last week. We're doing okay financially. We're paying our bills. But I guess my message is, we are blessing people. Are you a part of that? Are you a part of that? I tell you, it is an honor. You know, we could very easily be the church that needs people to reach out to us. I mean, that could very easily be our situation. But we have the ability to be the church that can reach out to others. Not just other churches, but people. Hurting people. And we get to convey the love of Jesus through our financial faithfulness. If you'd just bow your heads with me. Father, the title of my sermon today was Without You, speaking of the people here in this church, and I am grateful for them. But Father, what that really means is, Father, without You, we wouldn't even have the means to do these things. You have poured Yourself out and blessed us. Father, we want everybody to be in. We want everybody to be able to receive that blessing. And quite frankly, Lord, there's probably some this morning that are at a season of their life where they're still in that season where they need help. They may need our help. But there's others of us, if we're honest, Lord, there's others of us that spend more on satellite dish than we do in faithfulness to You. We spend more on a cell phone than we do. We might even spend more on coffee than we do our faithfulness to You. Lord, convict us. Show us. Show us where we are. Because without You, none of these things happen, Lord. Thank You for pouring Yourself out on us. Thank You for the privilege of being a church, part of a giving church with that kind of heart. In Jesus' name, amen.